Is it warm in here? I think it is, because I asked my wife if she was comfortable, and she said, yeah. So that means it's warm. It's very warm when she's comfortable. She doesn't turn the air on. It could be 98 degrees outside, and she'll be like, don't turn the air conditioner on. So, anyway, look at all the kids. We need to pray for the Sunday school, too, huh? Everybody stand up, stretch a little bit. Do a little stretch. Stretchy stretch. Does that thing work? Guess not. Okay, you can sit down. I was just thinking, I was kind of getting tired, so maybe other people are hot and tired. Let's see. Yeah, we've got a lot of visitors today. I won't introduce everybody and put them on the spot, but welcome. Welcome. Anybody remember last week's message? Wait, just... The Lordship, yeah. So daily make Jesus your Lord, right? Daily. And he said there's some building blocks before you get there. And I really like this. He said, one, recognizing Jesus' authority. It's turned on? Okay. One, recognizing Jesus' authority. That's kind of hard for Americans. Americans don't like to recognize anybody's authority, right? But you recognize Jesus' authority. Two, or this could be one. God loves you, right? Before you became a believer, he loved you. That's why you became a believer. And after you became a believer, he loves you. He loves you and you're accepted. Three, he knows what's best for us, right? So you can step out of your comfort zone in faith and make him Lord, and because he knows what's best for us. He loves us and he's God. So that was a great message. And then anybody remember the message the week before that? I wouldn't if I hadn't looked at my notes, but look to the reward. Look to the reward. So let's see. Do I go? Oh, there it is. That's the message from last week. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused. And we talked about how you got to learn. We have to learn how to say no, right? In many different ways, in many different things. We say no. What do we say no to? The world, the flesh, and the devil, right? And then choosing. And we didn't get... Choosing is really good, but you got to kind of understand the motives behind the choosing. So we talked about esteeming first. But we chose... He chose, and we should choose, a bigger piece of the spiritual pie. He stepped out by faith, and he chose it all, right? And then... esteeming, it's the value you put on something, and it has to do with your heart. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he looked to the reward, and we looked at Lot, looked by sight, and Abraham, God said to him, from the place where you are, all the land you see, I give you. And so we choose, based on all that, to step out in faith and make him Lord daily out of our comfort zone, because he knows what's best for us, right? So they all mesh together. The whole Bible meshes together, right? So who likes pizza? Everybody likes pizza? Who doesn't like pizza? Come on now. Raise your hand. No. So, like, when we hear a message, a lot of times we might hear something over and over, like bread. Jesus used bread because it was a staple, something they ate every day, and this keeps you alive. You know, I am the bread of life. If he had spoken China, he'd have said, I'm the rice of life, right? For all you vegetarians, he would have said, I'm the salad and beans of life. You know, he's our sustenance, right? But so this week... it's kind of like a pizza message. You can eat it all the time. Every week we could have this message, right? Why do you follow God? Let me think about why would you follow God? What would your motivation be to follow God? Why would you follow God? Love. Everlasting life. He gives us life. We're sinners. We need a Savior, right? The King. But the reason we would want that is because He loves us. Love would be the top motivation, probably. Love. And it ties into all the other stuff, too, right? And because God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life, right? And we love Him, and we want that relationship with Him. And he wanted a relationship with us. That's why He sent His Son. Because He's holy and righteous and just, and He's not going to have that relationship apart from it being paid for. So, we talked about eternal rewards, right? Look to the reward. Are the two mutually exclusive? They almost seem like it, but they're both biblical. So they're not, right? They're not. Is it wrong to look to the reward as a motivation? No. But I would say that our main motivation is love. And even in this section here, esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches of Christ. And so notice that it was not his own reproach. He was going to be reproached, but it wasn't his own reproach that he esteemed. His own reproach had no value. Your own reproach has no value. Don't esteem that. Moses had a promise. He had a promise. He had the promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? He had the promise. That promise was Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. How does it say that in the Old Testament? Because he was living by the promise. God gave a promise to Abraham that all the nations would be blessed through his seed, right? And that's through Christ. And we have that promise through Christ. We have the promise. And so we can esteem the reproach of Christ, but we don't esteem our own reproach. We live by faith in the promise giver. I would say esteeming your own reproach is a reproach to Christ. Because he paid for everything. We didn't. You know, it's like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Who's ever heard of that? I would say the road to hell is paved with self-righteousness. People esteeming their own reproach, right? I esteem the reproach of Christ. And extreme examples to drive the point home. We'll make an extreme example, but you can apply it in your own life how you want. Everybody heard of a monk that would beat themselves? They're like, I'm a sinner. And they would beat themselves on the back and walk around beating the sin out of them. You know, that's esteeming their own reproach. You know, Christ took it. I heard that there's a place in Mexico where they walk on their knees a half mile to get to the temple. Can you imagine parking out here and walking on your knees over here to get into church and esteeming that? Like, basically, I did it. I'm paying for it. I'm paying for my sin. No, Jesus paid for your sin. And so your own effort outside of faith is as filthy rags, right? But when we step out in faith, we're yoked with Christ. He finished the work and we can enter into it. We make him Lord daily. We acknowledge his authority. We acknowledge his power. We acknowledge his worth. We acknowledge his faithfulness. And we acknowledge his love. We acknowledge who he is and put him on the throne of our lives. That's what Moses did. He put Jesus above Pharaoh and all those riches. Jesus and all his riches above Pharaoh and all his riches. And Moses couldn't do anything if he hadn't had a promise. What good would it have done him? And we can't do anything outside of the promise either. And if we're not careful, we can see external or the eternal, not external. Eternal rewards is something that we can accomplish, in ourselves. But the rewards are in Christ. And so what is our faith in? Or rather, who is our faith in? I love that part in Romans 7. Paul says, a wretched man that I am. And then he knew the right question to ask. not what can I do to deliver myself from this body of sin and death. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death, right? Who, the right question is who? Who is our faith in? It's in Christ. And if you make him Lord by submitting begrudgingly and outwardly like a monk, then your faith isn't in Christ, really. He wants your heart. And when he gets your heart, he gets everything else. He wants it all. So let's shift gears. Here's a question. God's love does not demand a change. Is that true? It's a trick question. Is it true? God's love doesn't... No, it doesn't demand a change. It produces one. It just happens, right? And you guys got the... We guys got the sign out here with the grapes and the vine on it, and we know that. It produces one. Yep, there it is. Produces one. And so we got these branches. Let me put this on my belt. We have branches, and they're connected to the main vine. And so what are the branches doing in that picture? What are they doing? They're just like, here's the branches, here's the grapes, and here's the vine. And they're just like hanging there, right? They're just hanging out with the vine. They're just branches hanging out. And we're the body of Christ. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're just hanging out. What are we doing? Just hanging out. We're just hanging out. Doo-doo-doo. Hanging out. And if fruit grows so slow, you can't sit there and watch it like paint drying or something, you know? It's like... You might not see it growing, but it's growing. We're just hanging out. The fruit's growing. And, produces one. And, but we're hanging out in the body. And, but yet we do things when we're yoked with Christ. There's like a motion and action. There's like a movement. There's like a going. There's like a service. And it's like, the Bible has these seeming dichotomies, like be still and know that I am God. But you can actually be moving and be still, right? So, like, I'm talking about the spiritual side of it. You're still, but yet you're moving. So, anybody ever drive a car before they had power steering? Raise your hand. I'll see how old you guys are. Okay, I used to have an old 69-inch Chevy truck. That thing, if you didn't start moving, it wasn't turning. Right? And that sometimes that's how it is walking with God. We need to have a little momentum. We need to start moving and step out in faith. You know, the priest stepped into the Jordan and then it was stopped, right? We step out. There was a little movement, but we're yoked with Christ. So this is just a little analogy I came up with. Don't take this analogy too far. You're not steering God or anything like that. The analogy is that the wagon has the work or the change or the sanctification or the things happening in us, and the horse is God's love, right? And that's as far as the analogy goes, so don't take it further, like we're steering God or something like that. The horse is pulling a cart. God's love is a horse. And so the love... Whose love is it? God's love. That's the foundation for lordship, right? One of the three foundations for lordship that Will was talking about. God's love. God's love's a horse. But what is God's love? It's not our love. It's God's love, right? God's love is for us. And a lot of times we get the two confused. We're going to work. And then we miss out on receiving, on his love, on the actual power behind it. And love is not us loving God, but what is it? But that he loved us. That's God's love, that he loved us. And so say to God, I know that you are for me. God loves you. Say it by faith. I know that you are for me. Like, say a prayer to God. I know that you are for me. Because he loves you, right? God is for you. Now, turn to your neighbor. Just look at somebody in the congregation. Just look and say that to them. I know that God is for you. And then later on, find somebody who's backslidden and tell them that too, you know? And find somebody who's not saved and tell them that too. And we say it by faith, right? Because we believe that. And so in John 1:15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So I have nothing. I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, I have nothing to say to you. Nothing. I might know a lot of Bible verses. I have zero, zilch, nada, nothing to say to you that God hasn't given me. He has to give it to me in order for me to say something to you. And the same with us, with each other, and even in our own minds with ourselves, we receive from God. And so apart from me, you can do nothing. But if Christ gives me a word, I have something. I have something that's actually apart from me. Apart from me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But apart from me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But not apart from me who's in Christ. My new man is yoked with Christ, right? And there's a yoke going on, and it's me in Christ. And like, if you were to have the picture of the horse, I would be the ant next to him, you know, pulling that wagon, you know. But I'm still pulling with him, right? We're still pulling with him. And, And he's faithful. If God calls you to something, this is a 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He is faithful who calls you, who will also do it. If God calls you to do something, he'll give you the ability, the supernatural ability to do something. How can we think that we have our own seeds? Anybody ever go try to plant a garden with no seeds? They walk out there, be like, I'm going to plant a garden, and you don't have any seeds? God, the seed is God's word. God gives us the seeds. We have to have God to give us something, right? When God's in it, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from him, if I don't have a seed, I can't plant it. I can't do anything. But if I have a seed, I can do all things. And so his love is a seed too. His love produces a response. And it produced a response in God. God had his own love and he sent his son, right? He did something about it. He sent his son. And his son, he gave, he sent, he died. And we love him because he first loved us. And that's where the love comes from him. It's his love because he first loved us. And so don't try to love God. Don't try to love other people apart from God, because we'll fail. We'll fail. We don't have the capacity to love people. Not like that. Not like God. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, when you read that, you're like, that's impossible. Of course, that's God's love. You have to receive it before you have the capacity to give it. And, yeah. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. But when we receive, and God's love doesn't demand a change, it produces one. The sap from the vine somehow produces a fruit through the branch. But try as we may, without him, we can't do anything. Try to love God. Go ahead, try. Without receiving love from God, nothing. Try to love your neighbor without receiving from God, Nothing. You might be able to serve your neighbor with some self-interest in mind to get recognition for serving your neighbor, but you can't really love him without receiving from God. But abide in him, and God's love produces a change in our heart. It produces a change in our thinking. It produces a change in our spirit. It produces fruit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Where's that fruit coming from? God, from the Spirit. And so don't put the cart before the horse. It doesn't work very well. It just doesn't work very well. That's where I got the analogy from. We put the cart before the horse. It doesn't work. And it wasn't made that way, and God didn't make us that way. And the cart, does the cart have strength to do anything? If that horse is standing there, the cart can't pull, can't do anything apart from the horse. And every religion believes you can earn your way to heaven, that the cart can pull the horse. Yep. And except Christianity. Christianity has grace. That's unmerited favor. That's God giving us something without us doing anything. That's God being the horse. And So every religion, obey God or else. He won't love you. If you want him to love you, you have to obey him. Well, guess what? God loves us right here, right now, on May 22nd, whatever time it is, 11:50. He loves us no matter what we've done, did, or will do. He loves us right now, and he loves us tomorrow the same. He loved us before we got saved. He'll love us tomorrow. He keeps loving us. He just keeps loving us. And it's not conditioned on us. We can receive it. We can respond to it. But he keeps loving us. And this is a motivation. This is a motivation. Just let God love you and something happens. Something happens. You love God. You obey God. You love others too. And God motivates us through unconditional love. And there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, the love of Christ constrains us. It like holds us. It gives us a bear hug. It leaves us no other choice. No other choice than to love him back and love other people. Like, that's what God's love does. But we receive it. We got to let God love us. We got to receive God's love. And he loved us so much. So much that he came to die for us when we were still his enemies, right? He loved us so much. And the rest of that verse in 1 John 4:10, he was sent to be the propitiation for our sins, you know? The work is the cart, he's the horse. John 6:28-29. When they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What shall we do? We have to do something. We've got to do something to work the works of God. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the Son whom he sent. That you believe. Believe. Who do you believe? In the Son whom he sent. Why did he send his Son? Because he loves you. Start believing he loves you. Don't just start there. That's the life we live. This was a song we sang earlier. Knowing I'm found in Christ and his love forever. That was part of the song. Forever. Knowing I'm found in Christ and his love forever. That's, we worship him. And then, so, you know, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent, and that's how we live, by faith. There's an object to our faith in the Son of God. What Son of God? The one who loved me, that Son of God, and gave himself for me. That's the object to our faith. That's the object. We put him first. We look at the cross. We see the love of God. Yoke yourself to him, and the cart will come. You can walk in the spirit or in the flesh, and you can change your mind. And agree with God in a minute. And that also goes for with your concept of God loving you. You can change your mind and receive and just let God love you. How many people beat themselves up? How many people spiritually beat themselves up? I'm no good. I'm, you know, boom, boom, ugh. You know, like, no. God's not beating you up. It says build yourself up in the most holy faith. Not beat yourself up in the most holy faith. Build yourself up. And the way you build, keep yourself in the love of God. We have to put him first. Look at the cross and see the love of God. So I am his workmanship created for good works. But we don't have to focus on that. We focus on God. And then the works follow. And by faith we enter into worship. By faith we agree with the word. We don't just walk in the new creation in church. Anytime, all the time, renewed day by day. You want to see a change in your life? Who wants to see a change in their life? I want to see a change in my life. Like I want more, a bigger piece of the spiritual pie. I want to walk with God. I want to experience God. I want to sense God. And when I don't sense God, I want to walk through the valley of shadow of death and not fear anything. And I want to recognize and know that the only thing behind me is not the horse. The horse is in front of me. Goodness is mercy is following me all the days of my life. And like, I want to walk by faith. And like, if you want change, there it is. There's the change. Just let God love you. And the formula doesn't change. Let God, you want a more powerful prayer life? Let God love you. Yep. Do you want seeds to sow to other people? Like, I don't have anything to say. You want something to say? Let God love you. Even a message for the lost. Let God love you. Is this too simple? If God had told you something hard to do, wouldn't you do that? You know that story of the guy? he didn't want to go wash into Jordan. He's like, he sends a servant out there. His servant's like, yeah, but if God told you, if was Elijah or Elisha, told you something hard to do, wouldn't you do that? Is this too simple? If God told you something hard to do, wouldn't you do that? Just try this. You'll see it works. It worked in the past in your life. If you're a believer, you know it works. Let God love you. When we receive his love, we know we can trust him, right? If he loves us, we can trust him. When we trust him, we can walk by faith, right? We walk by faith, we can be like Moses and look to the reward. When we walk by faith, supernatural things happen. When we walk by faith, there could be a revival. Souls can be saved. We could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We could have peace that passes understanding and treasures in heaven. Just let God love you. He's for you. Trust him. If you don't remember anything else from this message, remember that. Just let God love you. It's a, you know that I love to tell the story, the old story of Jesus and his love for me. That's our story. That doesn't get old. That song might get old, but that message doesn't get old, right? The message doesn't get old. You sing a new song, and the new song, guess what the theme of the song is? Just like God loves me, right? It could be a new song, but the theme is the same, that God loves me. And so let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we can receive from you. We can see how much you love us. We can't be distracted by ourselves. We'll be totally trust you, Lord, and step out in faith, knowing you love us. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. If there's anybody here today who has never let God love them, who has never thought about what Jesus did on the cross for them, Jesus died to pay for your sins. Just call out to the Lord and say, I'm going to let you love me. I receive your forgiveness for my sins. In Jesus' name, amen.